I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
First of all, congratulations to Italy. Magnificent team. They have performed way better than they were meant to. I know the expectations started right from the first game of the group stage when they blew Turkey out of the water. But let's look at this team on paper. Let's look at Bonucci. Let's look at Chiellini. When last did Bonucci play brilliant football for his club side? When last could Chiellini play 3 straight games for his club side? When last was Emerson a top 2 option in his club side? Let us not underestimate the job Roberto Mancini has done in this Italian side. On the phone, I have Khan, London boy. I'm sure he will be sobbing all through the podcast. I expect this podcast to be very wet. Tears everywhere and stuff like that. But I'm going to be classy. I am not going to rub it in. So, hey, Khan, how are you feeling about the loss? How's it going? How do you feel? Yeah, how's it going generally?
Very disappointed. I'm now over the initial shock. And I'm feeling very proud of the guys, proud of England for putting on an amazing tournament.
Okay, so, yes, I know you're grateful, you're happy, and like, after, like, as you said, the initial shock has worn off a bit, you're proud of the lads. But where exactly did it go wrong in this game? I want to ask you, why did England win this game? Because especially in the first half, Italy were far from brilliant. And, like, even over the course of the whole game, I don't think Italy were at their best. So, in your opinion, where did it all go wrong for England? Because I think at the end of the day, the goal was to win.
We started magnificently. And it was all about high energy, pressing, and we were just everywhere, running all across the pitch. Those two holding midfielders, Rice and Phillips, were incredible. They were everywhere in that first half. So special mention to them. And it just felt like, you know how, you know, when they started to slow down, when the English players started to slow down, that played into Italy's sort of strengths.
Yeah.
As soon as they had a little bit more time on the ball, and as soon as they could play at their rhythm, it was kind of downhill from there, and England just had to hold on. They just had to hold on. England couldn't get out of their own half. Italy were just dictating the pace, really. As soon as England started to just drop off, the energy levels just started to drop off. And yeah, you could just see it happening in slow motion. Just, they took control of the game, had all the possession, and they made those minor tweaks to the formation in the second half as well, which helped them a lot. They took off, who did they take off? Immobile.
Yeah, and brought on Berardi.
Immobile, exactly. And then I think Southgate countered that by bringing on Henderson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Jack Grealish, which also helped us in the last 15 minutes to just hold on and keep the ball at times, win a few fouls. But in the end, I think, yeah, it was just about, we just couldn't maintain our energy levels for the whole 90 minutes. That's what it felt like to me.
How much of the blame of this is on Southgate?
Not at all. None of it's on Southgate. The only mistake he made was picking Rashford and Sancho for penalties. That's the only mistake he made the whole tournament. No one can say starting with the five at the back was a mistake today. It was working. It was working very, very well. And we caught them off guard in the first couple of minutes. Yeah, it's just those penalty takers. You know, he's just come out and said now, you know, you can't blame these guys for missing penalties. I pick the people that take the penalties. So if there's any mistake he's made, it's that. And even that, you can't really begrudge him that, you know.
Yeah, of course.
But he did exactly what we would do.
But we watched the game together, and like I can remember when England was sitting off, and I said to you, this is a very risky game, because when you play against quality players a lot of the time and you decide to sit off, then the pressure mounts, okay? Once the pressure mounts, it's a very tricky game you're choosing to play here. Because even if you withhold and withstand the pressure for, let me say, 95% of the total minutes, that 5% that you slip up, a goal is going to come in, because it requires absolute focus. Jordan Pickford came up with some brilliant saves, some nice last-ditch tackles. But like, I felt like even if the game was longer, like if the game went off for another 20 minutes, Italy were still the more likely to score. You understand? So I look at this and it looked like a tactical tweak. First of all, I also believe England scoring early was a bit of their own. Like it undid them a bit, because I felt like they were just comfortable from that moment. They just felt, okay, let's hold on to our lead. And it really played into Italy's hands, because Italy have not been brilliant since Spinazzola got injured. To be fair, they were not at their brilliant best again today. So I felt like England sitting back and giving Italy all the time and space on the ball just made them grow into the game and give them confidence. And personally, I think this is on the manager. What do you think?
Yeah. I think that's unfair. I think it's unfair. I think for the first half, England were going for it. They weren't making much at the top end of the field. I'll admit that. They weren't making many chances. Kane, nowhere to be seen. Mm-hmm. I'll give you that. But after a certain while, you know, they sat back and they said, look, we think our defence is better than your attack. We think the quality of our back four, or back five as it was, can hold off.
But that proved to be wrong.
For the rest of the match.
It proved to be wrong.
But even their goal, you know, if you look at it, it was scruffy. It was scruffy, to say the least. And there was no sort of defensive error that led to it. It just kind of,
but
the ball's bouncing around
comes,
in the box
from
the corner,
the
and they score.
The corner being won from constant pressure.
Yeah, but you're right. You know, it was coming. We spoke about
exactly,
a couple minutes before they scored. We were saying, look, this pressure's too much. They're not going to be able to get out of this without conceding, and that's exactly what happened. But I just don't see what changes he could have made to prevent this happening. They just had the ball. They were in their element, and all the momentum was with them. But yeah, it's easy to look back and think it's on Southgate. He should have made some changes. Maybe switched up the formation. Bring on Henderson earlier. These are all things that you say in hindsight. Grealish was immense for the time that he was on the pitch.
He has always been. To be fair, it's shocking that he doesn't get more time for this side. Because every time he's on the pitch, he shows what he can offer. I know how England, like Southgate, has built his team around such defensive solidity and stuff. And I have nothing against that. But let's not also forget the amount of attacking talent he has and how he can really play in a very different way and how he can hurt teams more. Like, to be very fair, Italy are also a side that are very, very willing to just sit back. We saw that against Spain. Mm-hmm. Italy decided that if you come out and show them we're better than you, then you're going to peg them back. And I feel like England just never wanted to take that option. And that is particularly disappointing. We talked about their centre-backs, the ageing defence, all those things. Like, how can you have so many young, exciting, fast, brilliant young attackers and not once did we see Chiellini or these guys running back for their lives? Like, we've seen it over and over again, even with the most experienced of defenders, when they have to face younger players, it's not about their quality. Yes, I give them that they have quality, but then you still see these younger players really giving them a run for their money. This never happened. They look fairly comfortable all through the game, and I think that is wrong, because as a coach, You're meant to look for these things to exploit. So then you have players like Sancho. You have even the players on the pitch, to be fair, Raheem Sterling, Harry. These are all world-class attackers. And at no point in the game were they troubled. So it just feels like, I think, did England just come to just see how the game went? Let's just play a very balanced and see. Like, did they actually come to win it? Because from the formation, from the changes coming on too late, like, what was the plan? What was the plan in terms of beating Italy? Not just like, I don't know, staying in the game or something. Like, England just came, like, we just came to stay in the game. We came to not get blown off out of the water. You feel me?
Yeah.
Not that we came to win. And it's very disappointing, in my own opinion. It's very disappointing, given the talents they have.
Yeah. But it's what they did against Germany, and it worked. Against the Germans, it worked.
But this is a poor German side. This is a poor German side.
I wouldn't call this a poor Italian side. You know, this is an Italian side that hasn't lost since September 2018.
Exactly
32
why.
32 games in a row.
Exactly
it's
why.
It's a very, takes, very, very good side. You
exactly
know,
they, why.
People
it should
are,
take, it
very
takes
dismissive
more.
Of this Italian side. They're saying that, you know, who's Immobile? Who are these guys up front? Their attack is nothing compared to our attack. Their defense is aging compared to our defense. But this is a great Italian team, and he's set up to stay in this game for the first hour.
But
we just want to be in it with a chance. And what happened? We got the early goal, and we were winning that match. But the critics will always say that Southgate's not doing enough with his attacking talent. And
that
it's hard
true.
To argue against that.
Yeah,
he could be doing a lot more with these guys. Jack Grealish, though, a case in point with him, I think Southgate knew from the beginning of the tournament that Jack would be the super sub. He would be someone to bring off the bench when the opposition defense is tiring, maybe more prone to making an error, and at a time when he would be able to play that pass. And unlock a defense. I think he always thought Jack would be that guy. He didn't see Jack as someone that can play 90 minutes, that can press the ball, press the defenders, win the ball back as soon as he loses it. He's not that guy. He's someone to bring on later on, I think. I like the way Southgate used him. I think it was a very smart way to use him. And we're not really going to be able to test the theory that he should have started until he starts a few more games for England. We have to see him start a few more games for England, and then we can say, I told you so. But no, I like the way he's used Jack. But you're right, people like Sterling, they get in by loyalty, by merit. You know, the guy's got however many goals and assists in his last 20 games. I think it's 20 goals and assists in 20 games, something like that. He's getting a goal contribution every game, Sterling is. So he is the first one on the team sheet. Again, I wouldn't say he performed to his best, but
no,
he was there to score the goals.
He was there
and the numbers don't lie. But this England team just doesn't seem capable of playing pretty football, attacking football. And Gareth doesn't feel that they can, or maybe he's not trying to get them to play that way.
I'm not going to be totally critical on Gareth Southgate, but my point is this: when you have a side and you actually play football to everyone's strength, utilize the best out of your squad, then your squad is going to go to yet another level. England right now at a good level. Credit to Southgate. I'm not disputing that, but I'm still saying there's still yet another level to be unlocked. We've seen it a lot of the time. We've seen it with the German side of 2014. We've seen it with France in 2018. They were hardly conceding goals, but yet you had the likes of Kylian Mbappe, Griezmann, Giroud playing lights out in offense. And to be fair, this is just the best. Look at Manchester City. They scored the most goals. They also conceded the least goals. So being solid defensively is no excuse for not being able to utilize your offensive potential. I just don't think he has it in him. And fair enough, not every manager, not every coaching staff know how to bring out the best offensively and defensively. But I'm telling you right now, you look at Harry Kane, is a player that scores 40-odd goals in a season. Raheem Sterling is a player that has 30-odd goal contributions in a season. Jadon Sancho, 35 to 40 goal contributions in a season. You have Jack Grealish as well, one of the most creative midfielders in the Premier League. Like, yes, England did well, but actually, they could have done a lot better, because let's face facts, you have a lot of praises for this Italian side, and rightfully so, but these praises are off the back of their consistency and result, which comes a lot from the coaching, which comes a lot from the coach actually taking this group of players and making them a formidable force. possibly they can't be better than they possibly are, Italy. To be fair, they have aging centre backs. Bonucci hasn't played a good season in a very long time for his club. Chiellini hasn't played 3 games in a row for like 2-3 years now because he's always getting injured. These are facts, you understand. Emerson is not good enough for first option, second option, even third option at any of his clubs he's playing at.
Yeah.
So actually on paper, yeah, England are way superior. But Mancini has done, like, he just deserves all the praise. Like, the praise that we're going to give to Southgate, which he deserves a bit, but Mancini has just gone on and done, like, x3, x4 of that. Because on paper, England are way better than Italy. They are way better than Italy. Like, no comparison. I see him bringing on Bernardeschi. Bernardeschi is just a player who hasn't played anything good for the past 3 seasons. Now, this is one of his first subs. So, this is actually a team that works, you know? And you also talk about their defensive record. It's doing okay. But then they can still go ahead. Like, they don't have so much offensive potential, to be honest. Like, they don't have half. Like, you look at Italy, they have like some good wingers in Chiesa and Berardi. But they don't have goal scorers. England have goal scorers everywhere. They have players who can score, who can create. And I just feel that if Southgate can use his team to its full potential, then I don't know who can stop England. Because to be honest, they have Harry Kane, they have Sterling, they have Sancho, they have, like, just think about it. Who will stop England?
Are you suggesting they need a coaching change? They need to get rid of Southgate. Is that what you're suggesting?
They don't need to get rid of Southgate because, like, in the coaching system, there are a lot of coaches there. But you can bring in, you can employ more offensive-minded coaches. You know, like in football, the coaching system is a very huge system. But it's just to find a way to implement it. You know, like in club size, at least where I have most knowledge about the coaching staff and the way it works, they have coaches who just coach the attack. They bring in specialists for things like offensive throw-ins. Like, football has gone so far now, and Southgate has created a good base for the team. Like, the team are solid. They don't look shaky. And for me, that's the first step. So good job there. But you have way too much offensive potential. You have way too much offensive potential not to be a goal scoring side. You know,
yeah,
not to be.
I agree.
You understand?
I agree. This team has been on a trajectory for the last 3 years, and it is going. We are getting better. You saw that against Ukraine, yeah, during this tournament. There are times when we look dominant, but we just don't sustain it for a whole 90 minutes. Or we don't do it against every team, like the champions of past, like the Germanys, like the Brazils. But I think they need to stick with Gareth. They need to get a few new people into the coaching staff to work on probably the top end of the field. But the trajectory is good, and we are getting better. It's just not quite there yet. We're not quite able to win these things, and I'm still hopeful for the next year, the World Cup.
This has made English fans more optimistic, way more optimistic, you know. What do you think your chances are realistically for the World Cup next year?
I think we should at least make the semis. I think this team can make the semis of the World Cup.
If the draw is on your side. Because let's be fair, the draw was on England's side this time around. I'm not taking anything away from them, but it was on their side, you know.
No, and it was on our side as well for the World Cup in 2018. But looking at the Brazil and Argentina game, for example, it was drab. It was awful from the highlights that I saw. Neither team played well.
Yeah.
Neither team look like world champions for next year, from what I heard.
Yeah. No. Neither team are in any place to contend, in my opinion.
So I think we're in a good. We're one of the favourites going into the World Cup for next year. Definitely, this team will be. It's a team that knows each other well. It's a team that has amazing experience at club level and now international level as well. So we go into that tournament with hope. That's all we can go into it with.
I feel this run has actually given these players a lot of confidence, because what this does is that now all these players have now witnessed and experienced a major final, something that even generations before them didn't have. So coming into the next tournament, they have more experience than to be fair, most of the countries, most of the players that are there, because most of the players that they haven't gotten to that level. And off the back of a World Cup semi-final, now a European Championship final, I wouldn't say it's their last chance.
It's all about the culture change. It's all about the culture change.
Yes.
That Southgate's implemented there, you know. It's a team that's so together. You watch interviews with all these old guys, the old legends of Ferdinand, Gerrard, Lampard, and they all talk about why their generation failed for England. And they all say the same thing, is that they weren't close. All the Liverpool players hung out with the Liverpool players. All the Man United players hung out with the Man United players when it came to dinner time, when it came to, hanging out at the camp. Events. They were all in their own little groups. There was no bonding. There was no tight knit group to speak of. And that's why the golden generation, as they're known, failed. Southgate's totally gone in a different direction, and he wants this team to be together first and foremost. And it's working. It's working. It's a team that is donating money to hospitals. It's a team that is standing up against racism at the start of matches. It's a team that we can really, really be proud of, and look to the future with hope for. So, yeah, you have to give Southgate credit for that. You know, there's been a massive culture shift at the England team. So, yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that.
Thank you so much for calling me. Do have a good, nice rest. Just recuperate, you know. Yeah, I understand how this...
So much to process.
Yeah, so much to process, you know. How it was so close to coming home and then went to Rome. Incredible stuff. What a detour. Minor detour, just off the other side.
Yeah, it's going to Rome. It's coming to Rome, unfortunately. It's time to go to bed and cry.
Nah, you're a big boy. I should. It's gonna come home next year, right? It's coming home. I expect to see the energy, because the energy is always there. It's coming home next year.
Yeah, you know our fans, man, singing from the start to the end.
Yeah, even after the loss, that was class.
Yeah, we got some of the best fans.
Most energetic, I would say. Not necessarily the most classy, but most energetic. Yeah.
Yeah, dancing on the tables even while Italy's lifting the trophy. That's English fans for you.
And that's lovely to see. But yep, it's coming home next year to Lagos, Nigeria. Khan, thank you very much for joining me today on the Tana Talks Cup podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's been great talking to you.
Do have a nice cry.
Thank you.
Be number one. Tana Talks Cup podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.